Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to this week's Must Hear Music podcast. We have a very exciting special edition up ahead of us. I'm joined by not two, but three of my coworkers at Billboard. We have Jason Lipschitz.
Hey, man.
Erica Ramirez.
Hey, guys.
And Must Hear Music first-timer Andrew Flanagan.
Hello.
Affectionately known as Flan around the office.
Yeah, you guys are really creative.
I don't think I got that welcome when I first appeared.
Young Flanny.
But you were on the very first one, so it wouldn't have made sense.
I'll let you have
it. And you have your own podcast.
That is true.
Yeah.
Jeez, she literally tell just, how you feel.
She literally just wants to shout out the Juice podcast. In fact, I am on my own podcast, The Juice, every week on Billboard.com.
Thanks, guys.
You should begin every Juice podcast, be like, I'm thrilled to be here. I have a special guest, myself.
I think I'm going to start doing that.
Anyways, so yeah, we have a lot of things to talk about. I think let's start with the one that was probably most exciting, I think, to three of the four people who will be talking about it.
Obvious.
Three of the four people that listened.
That listened to it. So Bjork has an album out that just came totally by surprise. I mean, we knew an album was on the way, but it dropped kind of out of the blue. No one was expecting it this early. It dropped because there was a leak. And now we have like nearly an hour of new Bjork music, or is it?
59 minutes.
59 minutes, yes.
You memorize that?
Oh, of course.
That's creepy. Yeah, it's called Vulnicura. And Jason, why don't you write a nice piece about it online? Why don't you tell us?
Oh, man.
Well, what was your favorite part?
My favorite part of the new Bjork album. No, as I'm the Bjork head of my friends and family, I suppose,
and coworkers.
No, I mean, you guys also really love Bjork, yeah. So I can't even say that. But like, I'm just a huge Bjork fan, and yeah, I mean, this album was supposed to come out in March, and I was super excited about it, and then it leaked online, and I was like, whoa, that sucks. And then it arrived this week, and I was like, oh, it doesn't suck anymore. So I've listened to this album a lot. And my first impressions were that it was very slow and gorgeous and sad, and now the slowness doesn't even bother me anymore, just because it's just so devastating. It's obviously a breakup album. It chronicles her feelings pre-breakup with her longtime partner Matthew Barney, and then post-breakup kind of finding some sort of reconciliation. And I mean, it's tough because there are Bjork albums that are more cohesive and more boundary pushing in terms of sound, but this is just a really personal album about some shit that she went through. So, I mean, it's definitely worth diving into. I've only listened to it like five times in the last 36 hours, but I mean, it's hard to come up with like a judgment in terms of how this will rate in terms of her canon, but I'm very happy with it. What do you guys think?
I think, yeah, like, you're right. It's especially with the Bjork album, you need some time to digest it and sit with it before you can kind of make that final estimation of it. But I'm not going to wait. I'm going to say I like this one a lot more than the last one by Ophelia. And I think that was an album I enjoyed. But like, this is just, it's a really affecting work. And I think the melodies are a lot stronger and they're a lot subtler. Like, it's definitely not, you know, something you're going to listen and be like bobbing your head to, but it is like, I've only listened to it like twice, and I probably have like three of the songs running through my head like throughout the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
I think it just, like, it's great.
All I hear is like cello smoke and her ignoring time signatures throughout. It's lovely.
Yeah, this is the first Bjork album, I would say, that she doesn't even attempt like a chorus. Like there are choruses on here, but they're not catchy. No.
She just skips to the hating instead. What's the time period that it covers?
So in the digital booklet that comes with the wow. iTunes release. Oh yeah. I'm that.
Is this fan. Like your Adele?
Yeah, I mean she's definitely one of my favorite artists. She's like my Adele. Okay. She would definitely be in like my top five. But in the digital booklet, it has, along with every song, it has the lyrics, as well as for most songs, it has like the first song is called Stone Milker, and it says underneath like a parenthetical 9 months before, which you're assumed like would be 9 months before the breakup, and then it's like 2 months before, and then the 10-minute diss track Black Lake, which I wrote about yesterday, is I think 2 months after, so emotions are still pretty raw, and. Yeah.
It's about a full year.
It's about a full year. And then I think the final, I'm not sure if it's the final track or the next to final track is like a year after. So she's all recovered. So obviously this breakup didn't happen just before this album release. But I assume you guys read that Pitchfork interview she had yesterday where she was just like crying, like talking about this breakup. So obviously... stuff is still pretty real.
I saw one excerpt from that where she's like, please help me with this, and she's like asking the interviewer Jessica Hopper to like just help me because yeah. she's overwhelmed by emotion.
I know and it's so funny because her last project Biophilia was the exact opposite, which was a meditation on nature and technology that literally tried to capture the whole universe. Like there's a song called Moon, and there's this, like
yeah, that's like her app album.
Yeah, it's her app album, and it's the total opposite of it. It's not that it wasn't personal, but it's intentionally impersonal, and this is the total opposite.
Yeah, and I think that's why I like this one better. Like, Biophilia was just, like, such a studied, like, artistic statement. Like, very planned. You know, I mean, the idea that you're going to write an album about nature and geography and geology, like, is... You know, that's a very, like, slightly pretentious project, I would say. Like, yeah, for sure. No matter how you cut it. And, you know, like, a breakup album is something that everyone, you know, probably over the age of 16 can relate to. And, you know, while certainly, like we've said, not the most accessible music, like, if you're a Bjork fan, this is, like, her strongest work in years.
Yeah, I agree. It's funny how she tried to do so much with the last album, and with the app, and with the live shows. I don't know if any of you guys saw the live shows, but they were like, residencies in certain cities. It was insane. And I feel like something got lost in translation. And... it's funny because I listened at one point. I was listening to the new album, and then I went back to Vespertine, which is my favorite Bjork album, and which is basically her sex album. Like if Bjork is, you know,
could have made. Yeah.
Wow. She doesn't just have sex though. She like puts on butterfly wings and like
and just
and hangs from the ceiling. Yeah.
But anyway, there's no physical contact.
She turns into a chrysalis.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean. I mean, it's just an unbelievable album that it came out in, like, 2001, I think. And, yeah, it's just interesting to contrast them where that one is so warm and so intimate, and this one is just, like, it's personal, but it's also kind of icy. Like I said, like, I called Black Lake a 10-minute diss track because that's exactly what it is. It's, like, she's taking aim at her longtime partner, and it's just, like, did I give you enough love? And it's just like that kind of, it's like a, almost like sneering for 10 minutes. It's kind of terrifying.
Sounds like a clinger.
I'm just kidding.
So is it wrong of me to say like 30% of the reason I listen to her is to hear her roll her R's?
No, that's totally fair. And she rolls a lot of her
R's. That's one of the many delights of Bjork. Well, let's listen to some of that. So let's listen to part of the diss. So... this is Black Lake Bjork from Volnakura.
You betrayed your own heart, corrupted that organ.
All right, that was Bjork. let's talk about the DJ Mustard.
How do remix. We even follow that up with, like, anything?
Wait, did you want to say anything about Bjork?
No, but now I'm going to talk about DJ Mustard. It just feels wrong. I'm sorry, Jogo.
I'm sorry. Well, we don't need to. We can hit Slater Kinney first if you want to.
No. It's crazy.
All right. So DJ Mustard remixed Beyonce's 7-Eleven.
He did.
That is an Erica pick. Why don't you talk about it?
DJ Mustard made me like this Beyonce song, which I, at first listening, did not really like it.
I was surprised you didn't like it.
Why so?
I thought it was a fun song. I mean, not great, but...
I think it's just a little too kind of cheesy and repetitive for Beyonce.
Fair.
And just kind of sounded like a throwaway, which probably was. That's why she dropped it for the...
Right, it was like on the deluxe edition.
Right. And I think that Mustard came in and kind of gave it its beat that it should have. It kind of goes along with how crazy Beyonce sounds on the song. So, I mean, that's pretty much kind of why it's really addictive to me. It's just he kind of matched up with what she was saying and doing. But, I mean, I don't know what you guys think. Glenn, did you hear it? Did you miss? Okay.
What's she talking about?
Having her feet and her hands up is pretty much what she talks about.
Okay.
Over and over and over again.
I can relate.
Yeah. Okay. When
pretty good take on the song. I didn't really have strong feelings on it one way or the other.
So you hate DJ Mustard is what you're saying?
I hate DJ Mustard. No, of course not. Come on. He made I'm Different. Like, that's like my
that's
anthem.
Very true. Really?
No. What if it was? Like, what if at my wedding in like 8 months I just walk out to I'm Different? Yeah, I'm Different. Anyway, yeah, it's...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Vanessa's going to be so upset.
I know. What I will say about
walk
this song.
Walk out to Black Lake.
Walk out 10 minutes.
There would be no wedding. The wedding would stop.
Oh my God. That'd be insane. I'm not going to do either of those things at my wedding. This is 7-Eleven is definitely a Beyonce track that seems like it was made for a deluxe edition.
Right.
And
sounds like a throwaway record.
Yeah.
The video made it a little bit more endearing.
Right. Yeah.
You know, because everyone loves a down-to-earth Beyonce, but it just, I don't know, I think it was a little too
What did Mustard do to change it?
It just matches, like, the energy.
Okay.
I don't think the energy of the beat before kind
yeah,
of matched
you put
up.
A much better beat on it. I totally agree with you. I think I did like the original, but this version is much better. Like, to the point where I almost wish, like, this had been the actual version.
Yeah. She could come out with another deluxe version with just the DJ
Exactly. Master. Yeah, well, she hasn't put out a 5-disc edition of her album yet, so...
That may be in the works
goodness.
Now.
Yeah.
7-Eleven is actually doing really well on the Hot 100, too. I think it's in the top 20 now, so it's, like, a legitimate hit.
Huh.
Yeah, I think
That's
the video
strange.
Definitely helped.
I think
also.
The video, yeah, buoys it
it's
a lot.
It's very playful.
But, yeah, so let's listen to it. Beyonce 7-Eleven... remixed the new and improved version by DJ Mustard. All right, that was DJ Mustard remixing Beyonce. Next up, we're going to talk Slater Kinney. So we... rhapsodized about their return, I think maybe a month or two ago, whenever the first song dropped.
Yeah.
I think that was like November. I don't really remember. Anyway, so the full album is out, No Cities to Love. I'm just going to say briefly, I've always...
This is a history lesson. I always get a history lesson in the Mystery Music
Box. Right, so the little history lesson,
I would say Sleater Kinney's a lot like Drake.
Shut up!
But also...
They're more of a Sam Smith.
Anyways, they
took an extended hiatus during which Carrie Brown soon got much more famous than she ever was in Sleater Kinney by doing Portlandia.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Mm-hmm. Is Carrie Brownstein, like, famous? Like, do people know?
I mean, she's done, like, every late night talk show, so I feel like by virtue of that, people know who she is.
I was thinking about that. Like, if people, like, I know Sleater Kinney fans know that she was in Portlandia, but, like, I wonder if, like, people, like, casual music fans are like, oh, hey, that's the girl from Portlandia in that rock band now.
It's definitely generational, you know. Yeah. I'd still think of her as Sleater Kinney.
Right.
You know, the one with the bad voice in Sleater Kinney.
Aw.
Poor Carrie.
The funny one.
Yeah,
I guess I can't speak to, like, what the average person looks at it as. Although, there was a magazine that referred to Sleater Kinney as Portland's best-kept secret.
Yeah. Oh, what? Really?
Yeah. It was our magazine.
Agreed.
Yeah, that was a very questionable choice.
Mm. Well, good headline.
Here's a little band you might have heard of.
Yeah, I did read that. No, I didn't read that.
Anyways, though, so yeah, so they're back from their hiatus. This does not pick up where The Woods left off. The Woods was a combination of, like, these really stomping Zeppelin riffs and then some much melodic, like, pretty fair. This is more back to kind of what they started out doing. You know, this record could have come out in the 90s. That's not to say that it doesn't sound relevant. Like, it sounds really fresh, it sounds incredible, but this is very much, like, classic vintage Sleater Kinney. And I think, like, in terms of songwriting and melodies, like, this is some of their best stuff. Like, maybe three songs on the album are already amongst some of my favorite Sleater Kinney songs.
Well, it's I don't know. They lost a lot of the, like, noodling guitar stuff, and just, it's all very economical, you know? It reminds me of The Woods more than pre-one beat stuff by far, you know. Just seems like they cut everything down to the essential parts and turned everything way up.
Right. And yeah, and it's only like a half hour, but it feels like, it doesn't feel like a slight album. It feels very complete.
Totally.
Man, it's just, it's crazy to me that first of all, it's so refreshing that they came back and there's so much, like, at least internet hype about them coming back. Like, people, I'm not sure how well this album will sell, and we were talking about this in the office a little bit, but there's definitely, like, having a moment, especially because it's January and the release schedule is a little slow right now, so people are really focused on Sleater Kinney. Like, it's crazy to me that Spin did, like, a list of all of the Sleater Kinney songs ranked, and it's just like, I mean, that part of that is that it's kind of a slow period, and, like, we can focus more on Sleater Kinney.
Mm-hmm.
The great thing is that they totally deliver with this album. Like, this album is incredible. Like, it's so good. And I say that as someone who really liked Sleater Kinney when they were together, but didn't, like, love them. They were never my favorite band, but they, like, I definitely had an appreciation for them, and now that, like, they've come back, I feel like this whole new generation is going to discover them and be like, oh, they have, like, six great albums, and this might be one of their best, honestly.
I was really worried that Corin Tucker's voice wasn't going to hold up. Like, if you remember the last song, One Beat, like, she just fucking wails. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And it, like, didn't go anywhere, which was a huge relief to me, because she's the whole reason I listen to that band.
Yeah, I mean, they have just an incredible chemistry. They all bring something great to it.
I will quickly say, I mean, I'm sad that, like, there's more and more festival lineups that they're not on that are coming out. Like, I want to see Sleater Kinney at a bunch of music festivals this year.
I feel like maybe it's because they're, like, writing a massive tour and it's too hard to, like, work around festivals, but I agree.
They're going to Primavera, that's the one I've seen so far, and, but, like, I this album is perfect, like, 4 o'clock at a festival. Music, like, I just like
sunset.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, you're just like, oh, you got, like, a sausage sandwich, and you're walking around.
Wait, what?
And you're just like, oh wow, Sleater Kinney's about to start, and you go in the back of the crowd and you just, like, listen to Sleater Kinney as
the
sun.
Most anti-feminist food choice.
I like sausage sandwiches. What can I say? A pulled pork sandwich.
Are they playing Coachella?
They're not playing Coachella.
Okay.
Or Governor's Ball or Bonnaroo. So, anyway.
So this explains why the other day when I looked over at you working, you had your headphones on, you were rocking out with a sausage sandwich in your hand. That's what was going on.
As I normally do.
I can count on one hand the times that I've seen Jason without a sausage sandwich.
I'm literally double-fisting sausage sandwiches as
fucking
we speak.
Constantly.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
It's disgusting. But I could, you know, we'll get your leftovers.
Weird, guys.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyways, one thing before we move on, I do want to ask, if you had to, and we usually don't do this, I hate to pit people against each other, but just because they came out, Slater Kinney or Bjork album, which is your favorite so far?
Probably Slater Kinney.
What?
Yeah. I just think it's a better album. Like, this Bjork, I love Bjork, and I really like this Bjork album. It's not, like, her best album, but it's, like, I think this Slater Kinney album might be, like, one of their two or three best albums.
Kind of apples to oranges, but it seems like easily an equal amount of work went into both records. Mm-hmm. I would go Slater Kinney as well, though.
I think I'm leaning towards that, too.
Yeah.
Even though I really love the Bjork, but I have to say, like, I'm imagining that I will still be listening to Slater Kinney, the new one, over and over, like, 8 months from now. I'm not, like, I'll probably listen to Bjork, you know, like, 4 or 5 times, and then maybe get a rest.
Do you think it's because you're so happy that they're back? Do you think that's weighing?
I think that was influencing my extreme excitement a couple months ago, but that for sure wore off, especially because like they have just been seeing them covered by every website constantly.
True.
The thing that really got me excited again was just that there are such strong songs on this. You know, like Jason said, I think this is probably one of their best. Yeah. So, all right, so let's listen to the first track off of Slater Kinney's No Cities to Love. It's called Price Tag. That was Slater Kinney. Next up, let's talk about something Erica can share in and enjoy.
One day I'm going to surprise you
listen
to all this music.
That'd be the greatest thing ever.
And do my research.
Erica's going to come in and be like, I want to talk about every The Fall album.
Oh my god.
Start to finish.
Okay. Once Piss Jeans has a new record, I'll walk you through their entire discography.
Oh my gosh. I'm never mind. Let's stick to Frank Ocean.
Okay, so Frank Ocean covered Aaliyah, by the way, by way of the Isley Brothers. You talk about it. This is your pick. Toss it to you.
Who is all of those?
Who is all of those? What are you talking about? Yes. So, as Joe was saying, Frank Ocean covered Aaliyah's song by way of Isley Brothers.
Yeah. At Your Best, You Are Love.
There you go.
Song.
Thank you. Let's see. Why did I choose this song? I think that Frank Ocean is mostly known, not to say he's not a great singer, but he's not one of the best. I think he's a pretty amazing songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the reason that Elisa's song stood out to me is that you could actually really hear Frank Ocean's vocals. We also haven't had like a song by Frank Ocean that's at this length and also can really hear him sing in quite a long time. I mean, you know, Channel Orange came out 2 years ago now. 3 years ago? Was it
2012.
2012?
I think it's 2 years ago, 2.5.
It may be 3, right, this year. Well,
because I saw him at ATP 2.5, I think.
Joe's doing
Google can solve this question very easily.
It was just refreshing to hear his vocals, which is something that people have talked about.
3 years old, that was right.
Channel
2012.
Orange is 3 years old.
Yes.
I hear
it's a long time.
I hear that the new album is done. It is now in other people's hands to give it to us.
Really?
So
the album
yes.
is complete. And
from what I
that's
hear,
awesome.
The album is complete.
I'm very, very excited for this album.
But knowing Frank Ocean or knowing whose ever hands it is in, we not really quite sure when that's coming out. I think it's like a Kanye situation where it could drop at any moment. I don't think he's one to care for a marketing plan.
I thought he was very particular.
I think it's that in regards to Def Jam. I think he's always kind of had something against Def Jam since they kind of, you know, shelved him in the beginning of his career. But I don't think he is particular as to, like, specific time or rollout or anything like that. I know the listening sessions for Channel Orange were all Def Jam behind that, so I'm excited. I'm excited to hear more of his voice than just his songwriting, so then that could also be praised as well. But it was just a great song to also cover. Like, it actually does fit him pretty well.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, for the reasons you were saying, it's just nice to hear, like, a new Frank Ocean song, even though it's a cover, so it's not like he wrote it, but it's just, like, oh, we've only heard, what was that, like, 1 minute song, Memorize,
right.
previewed yeah. from the album, which was good, but, you know, it was a snippet, kind of a sketch of a song, mm-hmm. so it's just nice to have a new Frank Ocean song. I mean, it's not, like, life-changing. I'm guessing it won't be on the album, probably prefer it's not on the album.
Oh.
But it's, yeah, it's nice. It's a nice
Yeah, I think cover. I think it'd be a little weird to have it on the album. Just yeah. like a random cover
right.
on there.
Did you have thoughts on this, Jason? No thoughts.
No, I haven't heard it.
No.
Well, let's listen to it now then. So
I've been
Frank,
too busy listening to that Bjork album.
I was told we'd be discussing it.
So yeah, Frank Ocean covering Isley Brothers' At Your Best, You Are Love. As a tribute to Aaliyah, because she also covered the song.
But at your best, you are love. You're a positive, motivating force within my life. If you ever feel the need to wonder why, let me know. Let me know.
All right, that was Frank Ocean. Next and last, let's talk about Erica's favorite new band, Viet Cong.
No idea.
You picked their name, right?
No idea.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Viet Cong's self-titled debut is out this month, and I've only listened to it once, but I love it. I can't wait to listen to it over and over and over. The track that stuck out to me was March of Progress. It had kind of like a psychedelic 60s British throwback vibe, which just kind of surprised me because Silhouettes, the preview of the album, was, like, so post-punk.
Yeah.
I kind of just thought, it was like, oh, this will be another, like, great kind of retro post-punk album. But the sound of the album is all over the place, and I mean that in, like, the best possible way. Yeah. Like, it is not a repetitive album. It's very inventive.
The drone-y.
Yeah, like, they go between so many different sounds, and it's just, like, this is a really impressive debut. Like, I can't remember the last time I was so impressed by the first album from a rock band.
Yeah. Bunker Buster is amazing. I like, Jesus Lizard's Monkey Trick is, like, my platonic ideal of a
what
perfect song.
What the fuck? What kind of...
He's just throwing words together.
So I wanted this to lean more that way.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. I didn't think about Jesus Lizard.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Well, they get that thump going, and then they bring in, like, the weird Velvet Underground-y kind, mm-hmm. like, guitar play stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because
to a lot.
Tom Brehan of Stereo Gum wrote a really great piece about Viet Cong. And what he said was that, obviously, Viet Cong, two of the members come from the band Women, which disbanded in 2010, and then they kind of rose from the ashes, and now they're in this band. And he made an interesting comparison comparing Women to Joy Division, and then this, like, Viet Cong is like the new order, like kind of the more... like not cohesive, but like more of the like definitely more accessible second
yeah.
project after those first two albums, and I totally agree with him. I you know, as someone who personally appreciates New Order's music more than Joy Division's music, I really just found I find this album just so enthralling. Like it's so cool how many moves it has. It's not an album with just one gimmick or one trick that it keeps going over and over. It explores so many different things in the span of, it's like only like seven songs, right? And it covers so much territory. It's just been a great month for guitar rock. Like,
I was gonna say that too, like, for kind of a 2014 was a bit of a down year for rock.
Yeah.
And just within 1 month already, we've had some just incredible guitar rock music.
Yeah.
Let's listen to the track I mentioned, March of Progress. This is off of Viet Cong's self-titled debut. All right, that was Viet Cong. That's all we've got for this podcast. I am thankful for Andrew Flanagan stopping by. It was great to have you here. And as always, thank you, Erica and Jason.
Hey, of course.
And thanks to people who have been tweeting at me music recommendations. I always appreciate hearing new stuff. So yeah, have a good week. We'll catch you next time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With ACAST, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with ACAST. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.